Hello, hello everyone. It's May 8th, Friday, and it's another edition of Talkline. And I'm Diane McGachran. My co-host Peter is still out convalescing, but in Bethel, which is awesome. And my hands are washed. The studio's wiped down. I'm not around anyone. I think I'm ready to go. And sure enough, there's Wilson from Bethel, our first caller for today. Hey, Wilson, how are you doing?
Oh, good morning there. Happy people.
Always.
it's getting warmer out there, which is kind of good, you know. It's still chilly in the morning. When it was chilly early in the morning, late at night, I was worried about my mom because she had no heat in her house, and I went ahead and, you know, helped her out on my free time and changed her tank filter and seals and flushed out the lines and drained out the water in the bottom of the tank and had some fuel delivery. Now she's got heat. But before we turned everything on, my granddaughter and I, we took her heater apart and serviced it. And it was nice and clean. Because that Clarice, she's 8 years old, and she loves to help me. She's my little helper, and her little hands can go into little cracks and clean all the lint. You know, if you have a Toyo, and now is the time to take that front cover off and clean all the lint that builds up throughout the year, even clean off the fan, because, you know, it needs to be serviced. So my mom's happy. You know, we do what we can to help our mamas, you know. We have to do that. It is our obligation. So if you're listening and you never lifted a hand to help your mom, do it now.
That's great you did that. I didn't even know that she had an issue with her Toyo, and then she mentioned that you had come over, and it was a simple fix, which is great.
It wasn't a simple fix. It was hard because somebody else, she had two other people go over there and tackle it, and they couldn't get it going.
Okay.
See, but I'm a master mechanic, you know, a serviceman.
Yes.
I'm a master of many, how's that word? Master of many.
A jack of all trades, master of none. I know, but that's not true for you, Wilson.
That's me. You know, I can do it all, but that doesn't mean that I'm
expert.
I'm certified. I'm certified in anything. I've learned throughout my 58 years, you know, just do it. You know, even if you don't know how to do it, just give it a good attempt to try. And I've been able to succeed with everything. My son, Brian Green, he's like that. You know, just try it, and then you'll figure it out. Then you'll know next time, and then it becomes easier and easier. And then you know, have an idea of if it works this way with this piece of machinery, maybe it works the same way, too. So we build our knowledge through trial and error. Anyway, I was hearing that coffee with the outgoing acting police chief Amy. Mm-hmm. Man, out of all the people, I think she's the only one I have anything nice to say about, because all the rest
Steady.
Of those.
Now you be careful.
All the rest of those people. Notice how I said people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't mean anything to me. Their knowledge and experience and wisdom and all that kind of stuff doesn't amount to hell of beans to me. Mm-hmm. Except for Amy, she's good.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they find someone as qualified and patient. I've always seen her, no matter what the situation is, she's calm and she's patient. I've seen some, I won't say who.
Steady.
pull a gun on somebody that had no reason to.
Oh no! Okay.
And I witnessed it, and you know.
Did you report it?
That was when was it? After those. That was long ago, like in the early, like 1996 or 97, and the cops were the law. You can't do nothing to them because they'll turn around and fix you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but back then, they were bad. Now, and today, they are bad in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, no, I did not report it.
Oh, but that was
I should have. I should have. You know, because that cop, he did it in my backyard. So, and that wasn't cool to see him act like that. And he's still an officer today. You might have to salute him because he might be a sergeant. You never know. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's how disgusted I am on those other people. But Amy, she's good.
Yeah, she is.
I saw one guy driving responsibly with a four-wheeler, which, you know, apparently Bethel is a four-wheeling type of town. You know, they let anybody on the four-wheeler and on the road and on the highway flying down to the airport to go check in. Lots of luggage and two people or four people on this four-wheeler flying down the highway. That's okay. They let that kind of stuff happen. But somebody driving responsible, you know, just one person driving, he wasn't speeding, he wasn't causing a dust storm, and the state trooper turned around when they went through the trouble to turn around and turn their lights on and pull him over. And, mm-hmm. they can pass a four-wheeler, some woman driving with four kids hanging on for dear life, and they won't turn around for them. See, we kind of live in a twisted world when it comes to morals and standards. I better stop while my heartbeat is still at 120.
Yeah, don't jack up your blood pressure on Friday.
You know what's really cool about
okay, good. Yes.
Blood pressure.
Oh.
I used to take high blood pressure pills, but the last time I went in, they took me off. They said I'm going to live forever.
Oh, wow.
That's what they always say every time I go to the hospital. Man, you're going to live forever. And they took me off high blood pressure pills. Now I just take that cholesterol. I must be doing something right.
Yes, you are. Good for you.
All you boys out there, up, even your 40-year-old boys, you know, if you live with your mama, you help her. You better do something. If I see you slacking and I know who you are, I'm going to have a couple words for you. You do what you have to do to help your mom. You know, thank you.
All right. All
I can say. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Wilson. All right. Good morning. John Nick from Bethel. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talk Line.
Morning, Dan.
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
Oh, good. Anyway, I'd like to talk about the cab business around here again.
Okay.
They're overcharging us, the people that are riding cabs, and a lot of them have only set incomes.
Mm-hmm.
They need I approached one cab driver before and told him they need to have a meter in those cabs, make it legal. They're supposed to have one anyway. Not second guessing on, I'm going to AC. Well, we're going to do a little stop here and, we'll be right back. You'll only have to pay $2 extra. That's what they're bounding on. That's blue-collar crime. They're ripping us off here. And they're riding you around and adding additional minutes to your designated area. That's not right. Is it to you? If I gave you a ride for $5 and I told you I'm going to go pick somebody else up in it's going to cost you a couple of dollars extra because I go pick up this person. How would you react, Dan?
I don't know. Is that the policy?
That's what they're doing now, yeah.
That if you swing by to pick up somebody, you have to pay extra.
I heard it's $10 now.
Huh.
And you go to Anchorage and you jump in the cab there. Their meter starts at $270, $275.
Mm-hmm.
That's twice the amount of money on a regular $5 cab ride here. Now, that's going three or four times more than the usual cab.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to bring you somewhere, bring you right there. Don't charge you extra because I'm not going to pay that.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much they complain about it. It's not right to begin with. This is blue-collar crime, getting away with things that are mandated now. Taking advantage of the situation is what I'm trying to say.
You would prefer that they just have one fee that you pay, right?
Yeah, regular $5, what they used to have. And when they had that, they'd ride you all over town and they wouldn't even charge you. Then you'd be frustrated by that. And you wonder, what the heck's going on? You give me the tour? Oh, I'm sorry. We've got one more person to pick up. That's kind of attitude.
I got you. Yeah, yeah.
Now, they're
you.
Charging for that attitude. That's not right. This town needs to have that bus running again. I heard my brother was saying that the bus ain't been running lately. They need to upgrade that bus or have two of them overtake them cabs. And I'm sure the city would do good on bus schedules.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will jump in there rather than pay $10, $15 for a cab ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Somebody got to stand up and complain rather than just being taken advantage of. I feel sorry for the people who have set incomes that need to go store or to the hospital, you know? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I want to wish everyone also a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up on Sunday.
Yep.
And everyone have a good Mother's Day and enjoy your day. Also, now that you're going on the river here, please wear your life jackets and make sure everybody has one, even the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure them kids are properly fitting them life jackets because, you know, if they're not properly fit, they jump in the water, it'll float away from them.
Right.
Make sure everything's snug and take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Be safe.
Thank you.
And
thank you, John.
Don't drink and drive, another thing. And wear your life jacket. Watch out for icebergs.
Mm-hmm.
They're still around, so I'm glad we had a good, nice, not too bad of a flood, too.
Not bad at all. Not like what I thought was going to happen.
Oh, man, upriver really hurt them up there. I'm sorry for their situations.
Very
much. But down here, it was okay. Never reached a steam bath. Always flood every year. That's about what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that,
bath.
It's been really good. I want to thank ONC, the crew, for working on our house. They've been leveling and remodeling, and they're doing a heck of a good job. They have an excellent team there. Always watching over shareholders, and if you need help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have a good corporation.
Yeah.
And I want to compliment them on that.
That's good
to
hear.
So everyone have a good, safe day. Wear your life jacket. Please don't drink and drive. Watch out for pedestrians also.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
That this obscures vision, too, you know. So, good to be on, Diane.
All right.
You guys have a good day there. Have a good weekend. Safe one.
All right, you too. Thank you. Okay, bye. All right, we have an anonymous caller from Bethel. Good morning, Anonymous. Welcome to Talkline.
Am I on?
You're on the air, and you turn off your radio in the background, though, if it's on.
Well... No, it's on. Well, it's off.
Okay.
Hello, Dr. McGachran. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was just calling to wish my mom, Jesslyn, a very happy Mother's Day. And to all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. And a big shout-out to my dad, Bobby.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right there, doctor. That's all I had.
You're welcome. All right.
Okay, I'll talk to you later, doctor.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Oh, okay. That was an anonymous caller. All right. So I'm going to give out the numbers here. We had a few calls right off the bat. Our lines are open, so you're welcome to call in and, of course, email. I'll read one email announcement that we have. And this is from Lauren Bradbury. Please announce Bethel United Pentecostal Church services Sunday, 11 a.m., and Wednesday at 6 p.m. Wait, I'm sorry. Wait, I got that wrong. I'm going to start this email again so I do the announcement properly. Please announce Bethel United Pentecostal Church services Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Wednesday at 7 p.m., streaming live on Bethel United Pentecostal Church Facebook page. It's also aired live on KJNR 91.9 FM. Also youth service on Fridays at 7 p.m. streaming live on Bethel United Pentecostal Youth page and aired live on KJNR 91.9 FM. Thank you. Okay. So those numbers that you can call are 543-5985-543-2756. You can also call 800-995-8954. And if you're kind of shy, you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. You can be anonymous for either your calls or your emails. All right, I'm going to go back to Wilson, part two. All right, Wilson, what's up?
Can you hear me? Because earlier I had it on speaker and I couldn't be heard, but now can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I forgot my main reason for calling.
Okay.
I always get sidetracked because my mind is racing like maybe 49 miles an hour, you know.
Mm-hmm.
50 would be the max, but anyway, the main reason why I called initially was to, you know, when I heard that the city of Bethel, they went ahead and approved. I mean, I don't mind those homeless people being homeless and, you know, maybe part of why they're homeless might be drinking, the issue of drinking or whatever. You know, but that's just my opinion. They, you know, they might be doing it to themselves. But what irked me, because I work with the senior service program. Anyway, the city went ahead and out of their budget of some whatever budget they have, went ahead and funded another 3 months or 90 days of, you know, shelter, which, I mean, I guess that's good for those people that choose not to. I don't know if they're trying. Some may be trying, but some may not be trying. But anyway, you know, I'm not trying to say that I'm heartless, because I am a... When I shake my torso around, I can feel something around in there. That must be my heart, you know. I must have a heart. But maybe it's not that big. But anyway, you know, they funded the shelter for another 90 days or so, 60,000 or whatever it is.
60,000.
Yeah, and, you know, the senior service program, they need the city to step up. I'm gonna do a letter, a petition for the city. Hopefully they'll honor it, because you know, they're supposed to do what they can to help the senior service program. You know, we need at least 30,000 just for half a year of service, because the federal government and the state, they pay for the other half. You know, 30,000, and it's the grant manager's responsibility to come up with the other half for okay. The senior service.
Okay.
And it's not working during this COVID. No one wants to donate. There's no gaming. There's no bingo. There's no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping the city, I'm going to petition the city to, you know, if you're willing to support the homeless, you can definitely should be willing to support the senior service program. You know, and, you know, I'm sad to report. I am so sad, but, you know, next week on the 15th will be my last day with the senior service program. My last day will be May 15th, and I'm really sad to report that, but that's the other reason why I wanted to call. Do what you can, City of Bethel, you know, help out the senior service program. I'm going to generate a letter of some kind to try to make the city feel responsible to do what they can to help the senior service program, because right now they are not. They are not. I don't want to raise my voice, but City of Bethel.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap up. There's more okay. Callers. This is your
and
second call.
I hope,
hurry up.
I hope,
okay.
I hope more callers will call 2023, that's 543-2023, and petition the city to help the senior service program.
All right.
2047. There you go. That's the City of Bethel. 543.
Okay.
Bye.
Oh, okay. We're going to go. We have two callers waiting, Chico, and then we'll go to Ray. So, Chico from Alaska. Good morning.
Yep, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Yep. Same old me. from Chivac.
Great. Thank
good
you.
Good morning from Chivac. Chivac says good morning to all.
Oh, that's
thank
nice.
You. Good morning.
Thank you, Chico. And thank you for the good morning from Chivac. Ray Bourne from Bethel. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning?
I'm doing all right. I think Grady's okay. And how about you?
Just another day at work. It turns out the Federal Assistance Board met last Friday and reached a decision that there will be federal management on the Kuskokwim River starting no later than June 1.
Wait, can you say that again? There, it blurred a little bit. There will be federal management? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct, yeah. Starting no later than June 1,
okay.
I will be under federal management for the Kuskokwim River. So, kind of like it's been in the past, we're going to do something similar. This week, the state met with the Kuskokwim River Sand Management Work Group and talked about, you know, setting opportunities June 1 to June 11 for three opportunities, and then June 12 to 20, three drift net opportunities. So the federal management will be probably similar to that, but I need to consult with the Intertribal Fish Commission next week on Tuesday the 12th to kind of figure out that process. And we'll be letting everybody know as soon as we can what the fishing opportunities will be for this year. The good news is the run is a little bigger this year. We're estimating about 227,000. However, there's a lot of uncertainty around that. So we'll be working together with the Fish Commission and with the state of Alaska and all the other partners to figure out a good way to harvest fish for everybody and still conserve them for future generations. So,
mm-hmm.
Again, the federal portion is just on the Chinook management, so we'll work with the state to manage all the rest of the species, so we do that in concert. So that's kind of an update on fisheries for the Kuskokwim fish this year. Some more news. We have a new refuge manager come on board, Boyd Blahovdi, I think it is. He is coming out of South Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boyd what?
Blahovdi, B-L-I-H-O-V-D-E. I'm like, wow.
Okay, something or other. All right, got it. And he's arrived here or he's coming?
He'll be here about July 20th. I just spoke with him on the phone with talking to all the rest of my staff here and kind of introduced him. And
mm-hmm.
So it looks like July 20th he'll be here and be helping out with the refuge management, be running the refuge program. So he's been, you know, in South Texas since 2013 at a refuge there as a refuge manager. And prior to that, he served as a deputy project leader at Fish River in Florida, and then 2 years refuge manager in Lake Woodruff in Florida as well. And
wow, this is quite a northern journey for him.
He
from Texas to Florida to Alaska.
Yeah, well, it's been his dream, is what he said today, to always come here, him and his family coming up here, is him and his wife and twins that are currently 6 years old. So they're homeschooling him right now. So that's kind of the biggest challenge he has coming. But he's worked, you know, in Florida, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands. So, yeah. But he's been to Alaska before. He's worked in Anchorage a little bit on a couple of opportunities. So we're looking forward to him coming up here and helping us out with the opportunities we have here in Alaska. So that's kind of great news.
Nice.
COVID-19, the refuge offices are still closed. And we're going to look at that on May 23rd about kind of maybe gradually starting to reopen up things. But the refuge is open. Everybody can go out and visit and see what's going on out there. All the staff that are working from home, so you can reach us via our phones or via email. We're still available. We're still working.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all coming from home right now. So.
Okay. Now, Ray, I don't know if this is within your domain, but do you have any updates on Old BIA and those buildings out there? I know they fenced it up and seem to be prepping for something.
Oh, yeah, that is my opportunity as well.
Oh, well, so, okay. Update.
The BIA site, we have a solicitation out for a contract to bid on the demolition of those buildings. That went out on the 20th. It's out for 30 days, so it'll be out to the 20th of this month, maybe a little longer. I have to go back and look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping to start demolition this year, and probably the plan right now is to demolish the biggest building first and kind of remove that concern. And the contract right now, the bid anyway, says they have to be done with the work by December of 2021. So the, all the...
Does that include the tank, the tower, tank, towers, and all the buildings will be removed by then?
Correct.
Wow. And what will happen to the space?
So the space center will be taking a look at that space. We still need to assess it for any kind of soil contamination. That's kind of the next step. After the buildings are all off and all that, that stuff is gone, we need to reassess again for any kind of soil contamination in the area. So that'll be another period of time.
That'll be another, like, 50 years of testing and figuring it out and reports.
Well, I hope not. I think, you know, because this has a lot of momentum and we have a lot of cooperation with Bureau of Indian Affairs and working together, we're working forward. We want to get this place cleaned up. So
that would be kind of cool to have, like, a wilderness center out there. And you can go on, like, birding hikes and plant hikes and because it's all, you know, it's right, it's surrounded by that. And, you know, y'all could move your office up in there, although it's a little hard to get to in the winter probably, but...
Yeah, we have in plans an environmental education trail that kind of goes down from the water tower building along that trail there and
Then
back around with some stations. That's kind of in the plans.
And nice.
We'll have, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4 stations focused on different parts of the wildlife and the plants and as well as the culture, you know, for the Bethel and the Yupik. And then we'll have also an information station on the history of the area. So that's kind of the next step after we get the buildings demolished and we get some sense of what the contamination issues are there and how to overcome that. So, long-term plan is to have some sort of environmental education out there, places we can take people and educate them about the nature and the culture of this wonderful area.
Yeah. Cool. All right. That'd be great to see. All right. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks.
All right. We're going to go right to Howard from Bethel. Good morning, Howard. Thank you for waiting.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was looking at your Facebook thing about dead cars.
Howard, close to my heart.
What really burns me is that you would say something like that and say, you know, make sure you take all your liquids out of there. So they take the liquids out of the vehicles, every part where it's at, you know.
Draining the fluids.
So they throw it in the dumpster, right?
Well, I hope not.
What's the purpose? What's the well, you know, where else are they going to put it? Where are they going to put it? There's no place to put it but into the dumpster because that's where they, everybody knows that's where they put it. And the purpose of doing that, if you're going to say something like that,
right.
So why don't the city... people that work at the dump or the what they call it, you know, they do the taking, removing the liquids out, so they'll know it's not going into the rest of the garbage there, you know, that'll pollute the slough and you know everything else. So you know that if you're going to say something like that. Say, why don't the city find ways to take this liquids out and, you know?
Right. You know, that's a good question, and it's one that needs some clarification. There are ways to dispose of the liquids that are drained from the vehicles, like Nicholson's Auto.
COVID-19, not my
I don't know what's going on. Oh, they accidentally played something else. Okay. And I know that ONC gathers hazmat materials, and ONC has a yearly collection. So there is a way. I don't know it myself. Maybe somebody who does know what people should do if they do drain the fluids from their vehicles, where do they take those fluids? They should not go in the dumpster. That is for sure. And there probably is a way to do it. So I'm really glad you called and asked about that, Howard.
Yeah, and, you know, like the BIA, that stuff is coming down toward the Bethel area because it's, you know, as liquid and as airborne and as just garbage blowing in the wind, you know. It's all over the place.
I know.
So, and it's not just that area. It's all over Bethel. You know, and I don't know what you're picking up here from the going up to the hospital, I mean, the airport, because it's got to be in the air there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But just my two cents I put in, try to get something going here. All right?
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, thank you, Howard, for that question about fluids draining from your vehicles. We're going to go to a quick station break. Time to wash your hands if you haven't already.
Two. COVID-19 nak mai sakthani. Amlagnun attautikun tutsin ritlhka ahtaqtuk. Kaisun totin pitsaksta. Ikayu suta malistaku suta su inhkutnun juga maksaksin ritlhka pitksuku. Nausuigni talil rit saksin ritlhka pitksuku. Kaisun ikayu tuhngatsta. Una tiuhut ksaunata. Akstakamta kusrakamta su patoksuta. Unat putsu ukuhtukuluki hulguluki 20 seconds nuhtfgnaku ukuhaksuki. Nausukumta su nimtniwi taunuta. Ika yuksuta amsrenun attautikun nausun tutsnri tukungahput alaskami. Nasun rivzera kaisun sakhnri tlhkanun kwani. coronavirus.alaska.gov.
If you're a tribal administrative professional looking for training opportunities, professional support, and additional resources, the Alaska Tribal Administrators Association is here to help you. ATAA offers an outlet to seek and share information, chances to network with content experts and service providers, mentorship opportunities, and so much more. Alaska Tribal Administrators Association is here for you, so you can be there for your community. More information at aktaa.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Tribal Administrators Association.
When did you last wash your hands? Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds before you eat, after using the restroom, and before and after being in contact with someone who is sick. If you are sick, it is important to stay home to prevent others getting sick. Everyone should avoid shaking hands. Stay up to date by visiting ykhc.org/COVID-19. That's ykhc.org/COVID-19. If you have symptoms like a cough, fever, or shortness of breath and think you have the virus, do not go to your village clinic and do not go to the emergency room in Bethel. Instead, call your village clinic or in Bethel, call 543-6949. This message brought to you by YKHC and KYUK. Let's talk about spring. What observations have you made during breakup this year? Have you been out hunting yet? What's in the sky? Join us for a spring call-in show this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KYUK 640 a.m. It's KYUK Radio Presents.
Catch KYUK Radio Presents each Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on KYUK 640 a.m.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We have a caller in the queue from ANIAC. It's Herman. Good morning, Herman. Welcome to TalkLine.
I was calling about, today I'm going to talk a little bit about our fishing. But first of all, I'd like to say that we got to get somebody else representing us in Juneau, because our current representatives are not, they're not helping us. They're even holding back that Corona assistance money, and they're, you got to vote for somebody other than these two we got.
Mm-hmm.
But I was follow up on what that Ray was saying. You're really concerned about our fish. You guys have to stop Upper Kalaskag from pumping their sewer into the river. Some guys a little below Kalaskag, they say they could just smell that sewer, and especially with the disease coming. last year people were, and they bumped it right when the spouts are spawning along the side of the shore. And I called the mayor. I told him, please, please, please don't do that. Don't pump your sewer for 2 weeks into the river when the salmon are coming up. And the response was, oh, we've been doing it for years. This is not right. You guys can call the city of Upper Talskan, 471-2220, or call the Environmental Protection Agency. If they're so worried about salmon, they got to stop doing that. I tell her, please, please don't do that. Tell your crew to don't pump that sewer into the river. It's dangerous. We got to eat. And they tell us we can't fish, you know. They're letting the red salmon get too many. And there's a lot of them, sometimes they get disease. You know, we got to eat, especially with this thing coming on. And they got to let people fish with 6-inch messing. Let them watch out not to catch too many kings, and people will listen. But to take away our right to feed our families, but, you know, it's not right. That one woman on TV, the judge tell her, oh, she can't open her business. She say, I got to feed my family. And she even got arrested for it. You know, we got to protect what we have out here. It's not right what they're doing. They got to do other ways. You guys got to stop Upper Talsat from pumping their sewer into the river. You guys got to do something. Call them, 471-220. 2220 471-2323 is the mayor's number. If you guys care about your food, you care about your river, tell them to stop doing that. It's destroying our way of life. It's destroying our river. And they keep telling us we can't fish, and they allow them to do that. They're going to find other ways to protect the king salmon and to close it down completely. It's hurting the other species. I'm telling you, folks, be careful cutting them red salmon. They have some kind of clear worms in their flesh now. We never used to see that long time ago. You got to wear rubber gloves, and that treatment costs $15,000 if you get that from that fish. They get a, like, they don't, like these managers, they don't care. Like, they're not really think, I'm not saying they don't care, but like they're forgetting about us who need to eat. We need those fish to eat. They're only concentrating on this one thing. There's other ways they could do it. But it's not right when you go, or you can't go. Now people don't go get smelts now from down there because Talsat is pumping their sewer into the river. It's what's going on in this world. Okay. You guys got to call them and tell them to stop doing that. And my message to you, Ray, you got to think people got to eat. You don't want to turn us to criminals. You know, find other ways to let us eat. Let us get our sustenance food and close it down completely. Because I'm afraid there, Ray, people are just going to get fed up. They're going to get fed up, you know. We got to eat. We got to feed our families. That's our way of life. Consider that. Okay. You know, you can't just come here and tell us, no, you can't subsistence fish. You know, there's other ways you could do it. Let me use 6-inch messing. You know, staggered, according to these, staggered openings by, they do it by the author, so everybody wouldn't go at once, you know.
Okay.
But, I'm just telling you guys, call the city of Kasha, call the governor, tell them to stop doing that. Okay, I'll let somebody else call, but I don't know why nobody else is saying anything about it, but
Well, yeah, we'll see.
Disease. That's disease they're pumping into the river. Okay, Diana, I know I'm past my limit, but...
Okay, yeah, thank you, Herman.
You guys.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you, Herman. I have a quick announcement about the food bank. The food bank will be delivering food to families May 11th through 15th. If you received food last month, you do not need to sign up again. You will receive food for May. Please call to find out if you qualify. Call 543-4544. All right, we have Noah from Tuluxac. Hello, Noah. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Diane.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say happy Mother's Day to the people that are working in the front line, such as the nurses all over the world, doctors, fire department, police officers that are taking risks, fighting this corona, whatever they call it, 19?
COVID-19.
And, yeah, COVID-19.
You got it.
That's what they're dealing with. And have a nice day for all the people that are working in the front line. I call for the main reason that they're taking care of patients, you know, off and on, which is good. Even they're taking risks. That's what I'm seeing in the news. It's what we all are fighting for, and we're following the directives in 6 feet, no shaking hands, which is good. Within Alaska, the numbers aren't growing, which is good. And that's what I have in mind. And to the people that are traveling with boat, don't forget to wear PFDs and watch out for the ices that are floating. Some of them tend to float on evenly with the water, so we got to be careful. Because I almost had an accident a little below Bogus. That's what. So from there, I teach my two sons to be how to travel, put PFDs, teach them how to hunt. Now they're doing it for me in return.
Nice.
That's what families do, you know, teach them how to hunt and when not to hunt. Like mooses are now having calves. We shouldn't hunt the cow for the main reason to extend, you know. And lately, we plucked white-fronted geese, and it had a pus in the meat, so we kind of eliminate that, so people should be aware of it. And that's all I have in mind. Have a nice day, Diane.
Thank you, Noah.
All right.
Glad you called. All right. We're going to go to Stella from Bethel. Good morning, Stella. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi, Diane. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Anyways, first of all, I hope I keep looking up on the Google News thing. I hope we don't have a second round stimulus check from down the state. So hopefully that will be approved for that. And also, I also want to talk about how do you say it? The bullying. Hopefully the parents will talk to their kids
about bullying.
Yeah, about bullying is no good, no fun. Because I know last year my baby was bullied so many times that I was really hurt. And I hopefully those teenagers, if they want to have, you know, good friends, they shouldn't be mean to other friends or bullying them.
I'm sorry that happened to your child. But this is a good message, Stella.
Yeah,
thank you.
And also, by AC Quick Stop, you know, since that park, that place, someday they should put like arcade or pool table in that area so people could hang out over there, do something, something funner.
Yeah.
Like back in the days, like I remember when there used to be Bojangle over by Crossroads Lions Club, and I know there used to be like pool table arcade.
Yeah.
You know, where they could have snacks and all that, you know, hang around with friends.
That's a great idea. Very needed.
But yeah, we've been going visiting my baby's grave how many times? And yeah.
Okay.
So hopefully parents will be serious about talking to all the kids about bullying.
Sure.
Okay, that's all I just wanted to say. So.
Well, thank you, Stella. And I hope today is really wonderful for you.
Yeah, yesterday was my grandma's heavenly birthday.
Oh, yeah, okay. Good.
Okay, Diane, you have a good morning, and everybody have a good, safe weekend, and be good.
All right, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Good morning.
Okay, we're going to go to Mark from Bethel. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to...
it's that Mark.
Mark Springer. Are there other Marks?
Yeah, no, but Mark Springer. Because I think you might have an answer for question.
You know, Grady asked me, and I'm not even listening. He said something about hazardous waste pickup.
Yeah. Well, you could pretend you were listening, and you thought to call in.
Bad practice. No, what I'm calling for is I want to congratulate the class of 2020 of Mount Edgemont High School, who had their virtual graduation celebration yesterday.
Wow.
There were actually six seniors in Sitka who were able to go to the campus, and the academic principal, Bernie Groulet, officially handed them their diplomas, which was just wonderful. They, at least six out of the 80, 90-some-odd graduates were able to walk down there in Sitka, which is important, representing the rest of their classmates all over the state.
Nice.
Bethel was well represented both in graduates. Adeline Dement was the girls' representative speaker and did a fine job, as did and actually the salutatorian used to live in Bethel. I don't have her name right in front of me. I apologize. She lives in Palmer now. I think her dad is a state trooper. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, Bethel was very well represented, as was the YK Delta, as usual. I know that all of us Edgecombe parents wished we had been able to go there, and our kids would have been able to finish the year in the classroom. But of course, that didn't happen. But I'm looking forward to going to see a couple of my granddaughters graduate in 2022. Yesterday's always a special day around the state. My high school graduation is for parents and for students and for families and for alumni. And the graduation ceremony is on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and type in Mount Edgemont High School, and the staff down there, led by Janelle Vanas, the superintendent, and Mr. Goulet, the academic principal, did an outstanding job putting together a program that was you almost felt like you were in the auditorium down there watching the graduation.
Wow.
So it was very, very nice, and they had beautiful weather. So the pictures of the kids that got their diplomas, it's just gorgeous weather. The first time I went to Sitka for a graduation, I think 2020 in 2002, a long time ago, I learned the definition of the color gunmetal gray because it was the color of the sidewalk, from the sidewalk on up into the sky. But the other two times we went down there, it was nice weather. But anyways, congratulations, graduates, Go Braves 2020 alumni, and good luck to all the students that are hopefully going to be back in the fall, either as freshmen or as returning students.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. That's been an exciting time, and it's really been fun to see the creative ways different schools have celebrated graduation. While you're on the phone, the quick question that we had, was, there's large item pickup coming where people can get their couches, refrigerators, washer, dryers, but also their cars. But they have to drain the fluids from their cars. Where do they take the fluids that they drain?
He beats the heck out of me.
Oh, Mark, I was hoping you would know.
I would, there are some folks in town that have got oil burners that I know will, if you bring them a 5-gallon bucket of car oil, they'll happily take it. They have heaters that run off waste oil.
What about the antifreeze?
That's a very good question. I would be inclined to ask the landfill manager about that. I really don't know. We here at ONC, we recycle aluminum, but we don't recycle fluids from vehicles and things. The other thing you might have to take care of is if you have an air conditioner in your car, you might have to get the Freon drained. And I'm sure he'll correct me if I'm wrong, I think Eric Middlebrook is a refrigeration technician and will drain Freon for you. There may be some other licensed Freon guys.
Okay.
I really can't tell you. I think they took some fluids out when they did the Delta backhaul last summer. So maybe Rose at ABCP would be better to speak to that than I.
Great. Okay. Yeah, we're going to track down this little mystery.
Yeah, there you go. Sure. Yeah, no, it's the time of year. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mark.
Bye.
So if you do have a question about what to do with your fluids, you can call Delta Backhaul at 310-3807. And we're going to go to a caller from Bethel. Good morning, caller. Hello? You're on the air. It's you.
It's me?
It's you, and we all can hear you now.
Oh, I was hearing cat problem this morning. What's the deal on this? Is that confirmed price that they were saying this morning? $10 someplace and $1 for waiting around after $10?
I don't know all the details, but I think they're continuing the policy of $5 a ride plus $1 per minute.
I was hearing it the other way around this morning. It was $10 and then $1 a minute. What's going on?
Oh, I did not hear that. Okay, good. Now that you've said something, maybe someone will call in and clarify the cab fare policy.
Well, if we don't clarify that these guys from out of town will be confirmed, we're trying to make it confirmed around here.
Sure.
The $10 from back there and $1 a minute, that's instead of so walking, exercising your legs, bullshit, baloney.
Where
do these guys come from? They do that every summer, every year. They come out of nowhere and they make ridiculous prices around here that's never been bothered before. And, it's kind of ridiculous to locals. We have 56 villages that shop around here and they wouldn't understand you. And that's the victim they'll have is these guys from out of town. These guys take any chance they get chances around these out of towners. I've seen that happen all my lifetime here in Bethel. I grew up with Bethel around here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that sounds ridiculous, $10 and $1 a minute.
Okay. That does seem like a lot. Well, maybe someone will call in and help us out with that. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. Yes, we're going to go to Howard from Bethel. Good morning, Howard. Is this part two of Howard?
Yes. Hey, I was listening to Mark, you know, and Mark is a brilliant guy, but never thinks of things about how to get, you know, this thing cleaned, you know. But, and how are people going to go bring the oils if they've got no vehicle that's going to run, you know?
Right. But, so,
you know, so is it going to sit there and until they get tired of it and they'll bring it to the dumpster again?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous how, you know, the city works and how they think, you know. It's just not
Well, the
viable and thinkable, you know. What do they do? They just sit there and let's wait till something happens first, you know?
Well, no, on this large item pickup, the city will drain the fluids for you for $100 instead of $300, which is the normal rate. You can also call Delta Backhaul, I'm sorry, at 310-3807 because they are the ones, I think, that have managed some of those fluids in the past. So I think there are some routes to take during this time of the large item pickup.
Okay, but still it's costing people that don't have the money for that, you know? So
I understand.
Can't they just put it in plastic containers and put it on the side of the road and say, you know, waste oil, you know, and have the city pick it up because not unless they're not part of the city, the city council people, you know.
Right. So I think the first thing is to find out where the liquid is supposed to go. And then if you don't have a ride to get to that location, perhaps there's a friend or a family member who would be willing to do that for you.
Yeah.
okay, so Howard,
I'm kind of lost in the, you know, it seems like it comes up every time I'm going to say something. Me and that guy in the that answers the phone, he's always trying to find a way to interrupt you, you know. Why don't they just think about this and then ask Bethel people how you think we could do it?
Mm-hmm.
And should we have a big tank for all that oil and all that antifreeze?
Right. Okay. Well, I think these are good things to raise. So, Howard, I'm sure people out there have heard and are thinking about it now.
And I hope you think about it, too.
Okay, I will.
I am.
Bye. Okay, bye. We have George from Bethel. Good morning, George. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning. They were talking about taxi fares.
Yes.
That's been going on this past almost a month.
Yep. You might have to turn off your radio or turn it down in the background.
Oh, you want to turn off my radio?
Oh, thank you so much. Okay. Yes, about the taxi.
Okay.
You have to turn off. Yeah.
Unplug it. Just unplug it. Just unplug it. Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. I had to unplug it.
No problem. Go ahead, George.
Yes. The taxi fare is outrageous, you know. Like yesterday, I went to the same location. It cost $13. I came home. It was $9, and it was a straight both ways. And they're taking their time. We need to get rid of that. There are these people that cannot afford what the taxi business is doing. And also, with the big cities having their transportation, city transportation, I don't see why we can't have more of the city service. And there's a lot of elderly people who do depend on that bus service because they cannot afford that cab.
Right. Yeah, so I think the taxi issues continue.
Tell the city council they need, well, I should tell them, they need to reevaluate the taxi service here.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been bum. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you, George. Okay, an ongoing chronic taxi dilemma. So I think we're going to the break now. And short break, a little hand washing wouldn't hurt, and maybe a little wipe down here and there. And we'll be back in a couple minutes.
TalkLine is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during TalkLine may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Thick river ice, deep snow, and rapid melt. These conditions put Alaska at a heightened risk of ice jam flooding this spring. Because of coronavirus precautions, fewer river observations are available to make critical river ice breakup forecasts for rural Alaska. You can help fill in the gaps and keep your community safe. If you live on a river in Alaska, send river ice pictures and a short description of conditions to fresheyesonice.org or call the National Weather Service at 907-458-3708.
Athabascan, Atna, Degit An, Denaina, Gwich'in, Han, Holikichak, Kuyukan, Tanana, Kuskavkwim, Tlinget, Haida, Slimshi'un, Yupik, Inuit, Aluit, Ayak, Alutik. Hey, all Alaskan natives. We need an accurate count for the 2020 census. Remember, your corporation or village does not provide enrollment numbers. This is the count of everyone living in Alaska in 2020. So it's up to you, and it's very important, as the census data is used to inform the funding of resources and programs in our communities. We too use the data for grants and aid, and it will affect the next generation. Shape our future. Start here. Learn more at 2020census.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Census Bureau.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We're going to go right to Cesari. Hello, Cesari. Welcome to TalkLine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it'd be nicer with that music be kind of shorter, you know, than.
Did the music go a little longer?
Cut the music away. and read out some of those announcements about eyes on the ice, because the eye on the ice, they're coming next year, not this year. So we don't need to have to hear that one.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
Grady's hearing it. He's in the booth now. Freaking
okay.
out. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm calling out the reason everybody been, lots of people saying, lots of people need that evidence and stuff from the Alaskan. We don't have money now. A state is really down and looking for sources to get the money. The oil drop, the gasoline going drop, the heating fuel going drop, everything going drop. We do not have any fuel. If we stay in same oil and the dropout go to the state. You know, when they drop the, for example, 80 cents a gallon, because he's buying cheap and selling cheap, why the State Department governor take the taxes from that low price gasoline and charge same amount what we're paying? We do not have any differences. We do not feel any more expenses, because they be not raising up, they stay the same, and the different with the oil drop, they go to the state to recover the economy, to leave that dividend alone, to support those what they needed. I know money to pay same thing for the gasoline. What I save with how much money I save myself gassing up the car, but overall in the Alaska, we're talking billions of dollars save billions of dollars, those taxes, sell tax, go to the government and to recover the economy. I don't know, is nobody thinking about that, but I think this way to some suggestion, and there should be people listening, and you know, anything would help, she should be try to do it. This is what I'm saying. You probably don't know what I'm talking about. Mostly people, but
I catch bits and pieces, but I don't know a lot about that topic that you're bringing up.
Yeah, you know, they've been talking about fuel coming to the Alaskan pump and everybody, they're going to drop down way down. Why they have to drop down? The difference would they drop down? Put it to the sell for same price and put back the difference, put to the states and they recover. So it's simple. You see, the help with the recovery of the economy and help to the schools and all crap and leave the dividend for the people alone. Because those people in the villages, they need the money. That's what is important. And we lots of people sitting on those White House and, you know, just listening to this. Just get me sick, you know, the media, what they're talking and try to get, jump on our governor, our president. They create, you know, this like, you know, it's bad words, but like hyenas, you know, this living on the dead and disaster. Mm-hmm. They be created, I feel like, the world created war to make it something to talk. Otherwise, they don't make it business. Everyone from this MSN and CNN, they have beautiful houses and cars, but even no dream. The advertisement is commercial is twice longer than normal. That's twice more cost. They have something to talk. They're creating story, and they're creating probably war to get this thing going and talk to people, listen to them, and lots of people believe that. This is all nonsense, and it's some true, but it's, lots of things is against the opponents who not support fake news, what I be saying. Okay, that's all. And have
I'm always glad you called. So, thank you, Cesar.
That would be sitting on my guts, you know, and I know even better. Uh-huh. Lots of people dislike horses with the cacos. They don't see. Pull the cacos out. Look around. See what this really is. You know, even those coronas things. In better, we don't have them in coronas. We should be releasing the school, the buses, city buses should be running. People using masks, people using gloves. City buses should be run. They help the older lot. I don't know what we're waiting for.
Okay.
So we don't have him any corona. If we have him, something show up, go ahead, shut them up. But right now we're free, and I'm happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
But to use it that we're free from it, and to release that hardship for the people who mostly orders. Okay. Have a good day, good weekend, enjoy the weather.
I hope you do too.
I do.
You got all that off your chest. So now it's time
to enjoy
the day.
I'm way lighter now what I was before.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear
okay.
that.
Okay, have a good day.
All right, bye. Okay, we have a couple of callers waiting. Willie from Quinnahawk, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, a few items here this morning. Starting with COVID relief that's sitting there in Juneau and can't get released. We have one Democrat in control of the Budget and Audit Committee decided, no, yesterday wasn't a good day to hold a hearing on this to release the money because he didn't have the votes to get what he wanted back funneled to special interests. So he's postponed it till next week. $1.25 billion just sitting there, businesses going bankrupt, people not working, no help from Juneau. Okay, there's number one. Number two, the city just released $60,000 for the homeless center. They dug cash out of their pocket, apparently, because the COVID relief for the federal COVID is not here yet. And that's fine. I'm glad they got their $60,000. That should tide them over for the winter for all their heating and electric bills. But what's been done for the rest of the people? Nothing. There's like $8 million the council, if I read it right, is looking at getting for this. How about, since transportation is one of the items they can spend this money on, how about punch a road through the donut hole so your cab rides are half as long? How about take some of that money for all the people that are laid off, out of work, fired because of no jobs? How about take that money and just start divvy up a whole pile of it and apply it to water and sewer? So you don't pay your water and sewer for a few months. That's like $400 if you're getting 700 gallons, 750 gallons a week. That's a lot of money to a lot of people that don't have money. That is instant help the city could be doing, and I think it should have been on the table for a discussion item to get it moving, same time they did their $60,000. And what happens in Bethel washes downhill to the villages. When your costs go totally out, it comes straight to the villages. We don't, we pay everything we have to pay because of the costs that Bethel middlemans, all our freight, all of our airlines, all of our passengers. We have to get the costs and the living accountabilities in Bethel to a reasonable rate. We're having to use the police force, all the high-trained medical staff at YKHC. They use it like a camp in Prudhoe Bay, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. Why aren't they living in Bethel? Because the cost of living is too high. And they found people that are willing to buy them the airplane tickets back and forth so they don't have to pay the cost of living here. We have a lot of things that need doing. We need money turned loose. We need representatives that go represent us. We just have a lot of problems, and we're not looking at the issues. We had, I know, four teachers right here that called it quits in the village. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, I'm reading a paper. They can't even go outside to do recruiting for teachers. Where are these teachers going to come from? Well, one of my first thoughts on this is, why is what LKSD charging these young teachers, that's the majority that come out here, lifetime adventure, why are they charging them rental? It should be like the military. The rental should be free in these villages so that they can apply that to their student loans.
Okay.
That should be just a bonus. I mean, after all, LKSD didn't go out and actually have a job that made money. They got it for free. Their housing didn't cost LKSD a penny. Now, they ought to be passing this advantage on. Now, I can see having teachers pay for their electricity, their fuel, and their water.
Yeah, Willie, we're going
to be on a bonus to get these people to stay. And I've talked to 9 different villages so far here just in the last couple days. They're all looking at the same exact problem Quinnahawk is with teachers right now. So I know it's not just 9. It's probably every one of them.
Well, all right. So, Willie, we have some other callers waiting, and the show is kind of coming toward the end. So I'm going to have to move you along.
I just wanted people to start thinking.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right. We're going to go right to Casey from Bethel. Good morning, Casey.
Good morning, Diane. I have just a little bit of what I know about the hazardous waste stuff.
Oh,
now I'm going to
you.
Hand you off to my wife here.
Okay.
But I know in a perfect world, it would be nice if the city could handle all of our hazardous waste. But in Bethel, it's a very expensive proposition. You know, it's not just automobile waste. You know, you're not supposed to throw your batteries and, you know, even your little flashlight batteries are not supposed to go into the garbage can or the dumpster. You got paints, all sorts of household chemicals. And I think, what were you calling it, that Cusco backhaul? Is that what
Delta,
you said?
Delta backhaul.
Delta backhaul, I believe. I used that last year, and I think that's a Donlin-sponsored thing. Hopefully they'll do it again this year. They had, like, hot dogs down there by near the Swanson store, mm-hmm. and they were taking household waste. I got rid of some old paints and maybe some old motor oil batteries for free. And but I did have some commercial stuff with my business that I wanted to see if they would take, but they would take that for a pretty hefty fee. So I have to deal with that on my own. I know way back in the day at the Bethel landfill when the late great Brian Glasheen was operating that, he would get old scrap of used carpet from me that he would lay out up there at the landfill on a nice sunny day and pour out old paint and stuff on it to let the sun dry it out, and which I thought was pretty innovative thing to do. And but I think it would be, it's just a very expensive proposition for the city to be able to handle all that hazardous waste. Oh, there was something else I thought of, but I've drawn a blank. So I guess I will. I think they used to take refrigerators up there, refrigerators and freezers, and you'd put them in a certain place, and then I believe the city would have somebody, a technician, come and drain the Freon on them. So, but if anybody else has better information than that, maybe they'll call in next week.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and here's Renee.
Okay, Renee.
Just a real short, quick one.
Okay.
A reminder for the Covart 19 Quarantine Dreams Community Art Show that will happen sometime in the fall, sponsored by KUC, Bethel Council on the Arts, and the Art Guild. And whatever you've been making, I posted some pictures yesterday. I made 7 bags. I've been making biscottis and scones, kind of trying to get a good something I like that I might take for the potluck. And I've been doing some pottery and some silk scarves. So if you've been being creative, and I've written a couple poems. So
whatever it is, Renee,
you're doing, I know. I mean, I have to do something.
Right.
So if you're working on, if you're doing some things, if you're being creative, if your juices are flowing every now and then, it's almost like a Bethel Fair, but without ribbons.
Okay. Yeah. What is the date? What is the date for this? I think this is so cool.
Oh, we don't have a date because I don't have any idea when, because the college has offered the cultural center at a discounted rate for us to put the show on. But of course, we don't have any dates when that's going to be open.
Oh, right,
so,
right. But people can start sort of keeping that in the back of their head because there is some more creativity going on. And
right.
I've taken some photos and
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anything and everything you've been doing while you've been stuck at home, you know, stay at home, create at home kind of thing. And it goes for all ages. And everybody wants to show what we can do. And then when we have the opportunity to celebrate together again, even if we're social distancing, we want to do that because that's what community is, and Bethel has a strong community, and we want to support that, the art people in town is particularly. And I also want to mention that the Shorty's working on the salmon and the raven for the steel salmon and raven auction, and if you've got a good idea and want to let me know about it, I'm taking a list of names that we're considering for people to do their steel salmon and raven for sometime in October, we're hoping, knock on wood, that we'll be able to have it.
Nice. Okay, good, good. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Thank you so much, and you guys stay healthy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to go right to Robert Hoffman. Good morning, Mr. Hoffman. Welcome to Talkline. Hello. Welcome to Talkline, Mr. Hoffman.
I just had a few things I might help clarify things.
Thank you.
I too, feel bad about the taxi fail heist, and but we've got to remember it's not the city of Bethel. It's the city of Bethel is just an administration. They get their go for orders from the city council. These people of the city council were voted in by we the people. So if we have any complaints, we should be speaking to the city council. They're the ones that approve this taxi fare hike. And another thing is about the sewer disposal into the Kuskokwim. Everything is being disposed into the Kuskokwim because of the state of Alaska approving this by diluting these poisonous chemicals, and they're monitored, I believe, by YKHC, and YKHC frequently tests this sewage release into the river to assure that it's safe to, and not to do harm to the people. That is done. That is approved by the state of Alaska. So them two things that seem to be in the way there, we're blaming the wrong people. But it is glad to hear that the Fish and Wildlife has identified more fish for us to fish this year. It make everybody happy. Mm. And I hope that, according to Willie, the city of Bethel has funds. Maybe the city council can approve some sort of donation to those due to the COVID problem. Maybe they can find monies to donate for life preservers, because you know the people that are not working and can't afford life preservers, they're over $60, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe they can find a way to donate to the people life preservers, so everybody will be safe and out of trouble this summer when the state of Alaska and the state federal Fish and Wildlife Department go to work and enforcing this on the Kuskokwim River. That's their job, and they do it well. Mm-hmm. So I hope the city of Bethel might find monies to donate for life preservers, that the ones that can't afford it.
Yeah, good idea.
Help with that problem.
Nice.
Okay, that's all I had. Thank you very much.
Glad you called. All right.
You bet. Bye.
So we're going to go right to Sophie. Sophie, welcome back, and you get the last few minutes of the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I finally got through. I got cut off once.
Sorry.
But anyways, first of all, I would like to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in this world, and I'd like to say thank you to all the young employees that we have in our cities, our villages, that come back from school to help us. And another one to all the complainers of the teachers, council members, TKC, Jalista Board, who vote for these people to be in our boards and work for us. You know, we may complain so many times on Yuk to Yuk or English Talk Show, but as long as we don't write no letters, no complaint letters to the board of directors, whatever board of directors they are, we wouldn't get nothing done, because the board members of whatever they are working for, their villages, their cities, their everything in our world, nothing wouldn't get done, because these complainers never write the letters to whoever they're complaining about. I would like to say, for those complainers, you never back up your teachers in your villages, you never back up your council, CDTC council members, or whatever board members they're in. No matter how much you complain over the radio, nothing wouldn't be done because you never write letters to the council members, school board members, TC council members, TKC and Zalisa board members who vote for all these people. We did. But they would know nothing. Even you complain on the radio, they wouldn't get nothing done if you don't send a proof of the complaint that you're making. I am disappointed with the people that talk about teachers behind their backs. They don't support the teachers. They don't go to the school and support the teacher or their young workers in their villages. Why not complain about the drug dealers and bootlickers? Open your brains and think how many of you support your health workers, no matter what kind of workers we have. How many of you go to them and support them? Boy, if my late elder teacher, Olaide Hoffman, hear all these complaints, he would point his fingers at you and say, where's your brains? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sophie, for finishing our show. And that is another edition of Talkline. Thank you, everyone, for your calls. And we have one quick email that it's going to take a court order to have City Council address the Enterprise Fund, which I'm not real familiar with. Hope you all have a wonderful day. We're heading into summer in a nice way, and take care of yourselves.